If you do business in US dollars, ever. If you have customers in America, ever. If you have an American employee, ever. If you trade, if you do any of your business with your vendors or anybody that does business with you in US dollars, ever, you are subject to the jurisdiction of the great United States of America, where me and Jeremy and Mike, my partners, we're all here to speak with you today, come from. So I want to just say something really quick about our company. We live here. We're Olim Chadashim. We're here because we love Israel. We're here because we want to be a part of Israel. I have children in the army. My son right now is in a pre-course for Ketsuna in Nachal. Very proud of him. My daughter was in, that's for him, not for me. My daughter was in the Air Force Intelligence for 4.5 years. So we came here because we want to have Israeli children. And what Mike and Jeremy and all of us want to do is we want to do our own Aliyah. We can't be in the army because we're all too old to join the army when we came. Although I was in the American army for many years, which is something different. But we want to be a part of this landscape here, and we want to enrich your chance at success in the Israeli, in the international business world. So I think I have a loud voice.
We work hard.
Ah, it's recording. Oh, you're glad you told me that. Okay, that's very important. So what are we doing here? So we're 8 people full-time here in Israel, our company. We have another 20 contractors. Some of the cases you may have heard of that we're involved in, Bank HaPoalim, we're the independent examiner between Bank HaPoalim and the United States Department of Justice. That's a matter of public record. I'm not telling you any secrets. With respect to Bank Leumi, we represented over 15 different managers, directors, and officers in that company when they had problems with the Americans as well. We also represent various Israeli companies and individuals that have U.S.-related problems, which is to say, perhaps they got a subpoena from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, perhaps they got a subpoena from the Justice Department, the IRS, the Securities and Exchange Commission, etc. That's what we do here, is we help Israeli companies with American problems. And I have one guess as to where we live. Anybody want to guess? Renana. I knew you'd get it on the first try. There's only 2 choices. It's Renana and Jerusalem, so you got it. And I used to live in Jerusalem, so there you go. So I'm glad that I got your attention in terms of U.S. jurisdiction, and I just want to explain to you a little bit about what that means. Those of you who are old enough might remember there's a TV show called Scared Straight in America, and the idea behind Scared Straight was they would send policemen and corrections officers, which is a jailer. I don't know how you say it in Ivrit. So they would go into these really bad communities and they would explain to kids who were teenagers what it was going to be like for them if they were going to continue on their path of drug dealing or robbing people, etc. And it would call Scared Straight. So I'm not trying to scare you straight, although this is a similar methodology, I'll have to admit. What I want to just explain to you is, what does it mean to be subject to U.S. jurisdiction, and how can our company help you? So all of you are thinking, same as you think when you went and got a root canal, gosh, I hope I never see you again the rest of my life. That's okay. We'd love to see you, even though you may not love to see us. We actually want to introduce ourselves as value add to you. Okay, we're not here to do anything but help you. And if you have small questions here and there, and I'll explain where we might be able to be relevant, we're happy to answer your questions for free. We're happy to have a relationship with you for free. We're happy to be involved with things that come up from time to time like that. And if there comes to be a problem that's big enough for us to deal with, we're happy to get involved then as well. Okay, so I just want you to understand, it's not our model to come in and to just try to make $2 an hour for every 10 minutes you guys call us. We're here because we want a relationship with you and with your companies. It's very important to us. So you understand a little bit about the background. Those of you who are familiar with the way the United States of America works will understand that a meeting with a federal prosecutor in the United States, like you might have seen in any number of movies, what was the Jordan Belfort movie? Wolf of Wall Street. Remember when he thinks he tricked everybody and the FBI comes to his house and they hold up the post-it that says, like, I'm recording you? So a meeting with the Justice Department is very different than a meeting with the Israeli Tax Authority. You cannot walk into the Justice Department and bang on the table and scream and yell and expect them to walk away. If you bang on the table and scream and yell at the Justice Department, they will say, wow, it's really nice that you came in. There's the door, and the U.S. Marshal will escort you out. Now will be the last meeting they have with you before they prosecute you. Okay? You have to understand the culture of the American is very different than the culture of the Israeli. I worked, after I made Aliyah to Israel, but I actually made Aliyah to London. I worked in London for 9 years. I opened our office there. And the culture in London is very different from the culture in America as well. So part of what we're trying to do for you here is to bridge that cultural gap when you have those American problems. And it's very important that you have the right tools to do that. So our office, we're a global law firm. We're in, I think, 8 countries with 11 offices worldwide. And what I want to just explain to you, thank you, Tzach. So worldwide jurisdiction basically means that you're all subject to receiving a U.S. subpoena or being investigated by the Americans. In Israel, I don't know how many lawyers we have here, Israeli lawyers, but there's generally, raise your hand, please. No, or don't. So there's generally in most civilized Western countries, there's something called an investigative magistrate. Okay, what that means is somebody that oversees what the prosecutors do. Okay, in America, there is no oversight of a prosecutor. When I was a prosecutor, I investigated, what was my scope of investigation? What could I investigate? The answer is anything I wanted. Okay, there is no watch or check on an American prosecutor until your case comes to court. So there's nobody to complain to. You can't say, hey, you're not acting nice to me. I shouldn't have gotten the subpoena, et cetera, et cetera. Your only remedy is court. Okay, so what you want to avoid at all costs is court. Okay, and the way to avoid court is to be knowledgeable of what you're doing beforehand and to get the right people involved. Okay, so if you get a subpoena, you're going to need to know how to respond. Another big difference between Israel and America is in Israel, the regulator will not give you a prospective legal opinion. What does that mean? If you call the ITA, and many of you have dealt with the Israeli tax authority, as I have, but not as the main lawyer, but as a lawyer for a client that has Israeli problems and American problems, they will actually tell you what their view is of whether the conduct is illegal, what's taxable and what's not. They'll actually have a conversation with you. They'll treat you like a Ben Adam. They'll treat you like a normal person and they'll answer your questions. If you call the SEC, they will not answer your questions. They will say, do what you want and we'll do what we want. Have a nice day. And that is exactly how it works. In London, same thing. If you call the FCA in London, they will actually have a conversation with you and treat you like a professional. In America, they will not do that. The IRS will not do that. The SEC will not do that. Certainly the Justice Department in a million years would never do that. So there isn't, if you think you're going to solve it by just being nice and calling them on your own, I guarantee you, you're not. Okay, so you have to understand what you're dealing with. It's a very, very different landscape. Those of you who are old enough, do you know what Western movies are? Cowboys and Indians? That's America. Okay, we have black, we have white, and there's no in between. Okay, you know who our president is? We have black, we have white, and we have no in between. Okay, and that's just an American mindset. So offshore is bad, onshore is good. Okay, right now, Israel good, Iran bad. Whether that will stay that way, I don't know, but that's the way it is right now. So understand what you're dealing with is very, very important, and I think we can help you in that way. So slide 5 just talks about some of the long-arm jurisdiction just means exactly that. There is no country on this earth that is not subject to U.S. jurisdiction as long as there's somebody in that country dealing in American dollars. Okay, so if you have an account with Leumi and you're paying customers in dollars or you're paying vendors in dollars, Leumi has a correspondent banking relationship with an American bank in U.S. dollars. It's the same way that the American sanctions against Iran are working. If the oil is traded in dollars, we can touch the oil and we can stop it from being traded. So that's the American mindset and that's what you're dealing with. So here's some of the things that the Americans will typically investigate. What's very interesting about bank fraud and securities fraud, a case that Jeremy and I have right now, you don't even need to intentionally say something wrong. Like, it just has to be a misstatement. It does not have to be an intentional misstatement. Just a misstatement subjects you to an American crime. Wire fraud, depending on the crime, again, it sounds like scared straight, a little bit of it is, punishable by 20 years in prison. Okay, so let's say you're an innocent person and you're dealing with a bank on behalf of your company, one of your employees, because you're all CFOs, and the bank and the person and one of the customers calls and says, hey, I've got this wire and it says X. It really wasn't X, it was really Y. Is it okay with you if I write that the transfer was about Y and it wasn't about X? And your employee says, sure, that's fine. That's bank fraud. That's a crime. And if you're dealing in dollars, that's a punishment, that's a crime that the United States can reach and it will prosecute, okay? So that's the scared straight portion. Real quickly, just show you a quick diagram of the Justice Department and sort of who's who. Only relevant, I think it's the next one, Sock. It's only relevant to tell you that, again, another comparative law story in Israel, and we've had a lot of clients like this. In Israel, many of our clients tend to be very important people. There are a lot of big, important people in Israel, Baruch Hashem, because Israel is an amazing country full of amazing people with lots of creative ideas, taking lots of risks, doing amazing things. And I've had clients call me and say, listen, I'm best friends with Ron Dermer. Why doesn't he just call Bill Barr and we'll have a meeting with, you know, Dick Cheney's, you know, guy that he plays golf with and it'll all go away. And I'll say, well, America doesn't work that way. And I don't know enough about Israel. You guys tell me, maybe Israel does work that way. I don't think so. But America definitely doesn't work that way. Okay, all of these people at the top are political appointees, but they're sitting on top of bureaucracies that are full of people who are just trying to do their job to the best of their ability. And none of these people are incentivized to walk in with your CEO and just have a meeting and let it go away, because then all the people who work for them will hate them, right? Because you've now made me irrelevant. I'm a 30-year prosecutor. And you came and you met with the attorney general, and I have a 2-year investigation of your company, and it all went away. Nobody's gonna wanna work for that person who sits on top of the Justice Department or his subordinate anymore. So it doesn't work that way in America. If it did, I wouldn't be here. And if you do know somebody who can make your cases go away, my advice to you is pay them money and get out of your case. But I'm not that guy. We can help you with the real process as it really takes place. So, just to understand a little bit about the bureaucracy, what is the SEC? So next slide, Sock. Just very quickly, things are very different now in Israel than in the days of Meyer Lansky. You guys know the story of Meyer Lansky? Meyer Lansky was a gangster, a very bad man, I can say, without passing too much judgment. He killed a lot of people. And he wanted to come get buried in Israel. Does everybody know the story? So in those days, there was people that would stand up and people that wouldn't. These days, there is really nothing from my perspective, and I'm not talking about politics, which I'm not interested in, and I'm not gonna go there, but in terms of what the Justice Department or the SEC or the FBI wants from the Israeli authorities, they never get told no. Okay, there is not a scenario that I have come across in which the ITA or the Justice Ministry or somebody else tells the Americans no when they want a piece of information or they wanna talk to somebody. Okay, they just don't say no. Extradition, same thing. You can be extradited to America for a tax offense. In the past, you couldn't. Okay, that's all changed. Okay, so the Americans and the Israelis are extremely close. You've heard of FATCA, right? For American tax, for people that are US taxpayers. That's another example of the very, very close cooperation. And Americans love Israel. That's a fact. The American justice system and the SEC and these people, they really love Israel. They love working with the Israeli authorities. They love coming here. They love making excuses to get a free trip to Israel. So they love investigating Israelis. Okay, and that's just reality. So this is what the SEC looks like. The very same point I just want to make about them. This guy, Steve Paikin, went into private practice about the same time I did. He was also a former federal prosecutor. He's now in charge of the SEC Division of Enforcement. If you are interviewing an American lawyer for something you have that has gone wrong, hopefully you'll call me first. But if you are interviewing somebody and they say, I know X and I can make X go away, end the meeting, okay? End the meeting, because nobody can do that for you other than that one person that knows Ron Dermer that may exist in Israel or may not. Nobody can do that for you. What it does for you, having former people that were in the system, is it gives you a chance to be heard. I can guarantee you that your position will be heard. I cannot guarantee you a result. Okay, but I can guarantee you, I think, good advice and how to approach the problems. But again, America is not, you guys remember Yitzhak Shamir, your prime minister from many years ago? One time he was standing, I think this is the last time the Israelis stood up to the Americans, and he said to George Bush the First, you guys remember this? Israel is not a banana republic. Okay, you remember that? So when it comes to this stuff, Israel kind of is a banana republic. I'm sorry to tell you, but they really do whatever the Americans want. And you should just be aware of that. Real quickly, Sock, we just have here the CFTC. This is just a diagram of what the SEC looks like, and there's Steve down there. The CFTC is another American organization that you have to be wary of. Did anybody hear of what a binary option is? Okay, so this is like one of these great Israeli inventions that didn't end up too well for certain people. So a binary option is basically like, you buy this from me and I'll either give you money or I won't, or I'll give you an asset or I won't. And guess what? It was mostly I won't. And in 2017, something like $5 billion business for some of the Israelis that were involved in this. Now, unfortunately for five or six people, that whole world has come crashing down upon their heads because the Americans, no offense, but rightfully so, saw this as a fraud, right? And it is a fraud. And I'm sorry, but it's a fraud. And these people were being prosecuted or were prosecuted in a world of hurt. So in America, what happens is all the prosecutorial and regulatory agencies actually compete with one another to get cases. Okay, and how does that work? So the U.S. attorney doesn't cooperate with the district attorney. They fight with each other over cases. It's just like the movies. And they actually stab each other in the back in order to get cases from each other. I know because I've done it. I've been on the receiving end and on the giving end of those things. So you have a bunch of people in New York, particularly New York. That's where you have to be the most worried. The second place to worry about most next is the Miami U.S. Attorney's Office. And the third place is the Los Angeles U.S. Attorney's Office. All Israelis love Los Angeles and New York and Miami, so I know those places are all relevant to you. San Francisco a little bit less, but they're all fighting for the same cases. Okay, they're not cooperating with each other, fighting with each other. Why? Because they all want to go get hired by Skadden Arps, Kobre and Kim, Morrison Foerster, et cetera, when they leave the government. So they have to make a big case, and they want to make a big case so they can go to the next law firm where they want to work and say, look at this big case I made. So that's what you're up against. You're not up against, in Israel, my opinion is that the regulator here is actually quite fair. Okay, I've seen the regulators do very many, maybe that wasn't your experience, I apologize if it wasn't, but I've seen the regulators be very, very fair to people in London and Israel. And in America, it's an investigation in search of a crime. Not an investigation in search of the truth, it's an investigation in search of a crime. Because if I'm gonna spend my time investigating binary options, I will be damned if somebody's not getting indicted at the end of that investigation. That's just the attitude. I'm not telling you that's what I said. I'm telling you that's what they say. Okay, so you need to understand what it is you're dealing with and what you're up against. Real quick, two case studies. One has to do with an Israeli tech company, and these are case studies that we're involved in and will be somewhat cute about. Next slide, if you don't mind. One more, Tzach. An Israeli tech company, this goes right to what Oren was just talking about. Be careful when you choose your partner. 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 Okay, if you choose the wrong partner, that partner can end your company. That partner may end up getting you in prison. That partner may tell you, listen, I've been in VC my whole life. I'm telling you, if you just write this belongs to you, even if it doesn't, it's gonna be okay, nobody's gonna care. Guess what? There's an entire organization called the Securities and Exchange Commission, and they care very deeply, okay? Be really careful who you choose. How can we help you? If you're gonna get in a situation where you're about to give somebody an NDA, you're about to get a joint venture partner, you're about to do a merger or an acquisition, and you want us to take a look at things, we're happy to take a look at things, chinam, no problem. We're happy to give you some prospective advice whenever we can, and if and when, as we say, the shit hits the fan, then you know who to call. But we're happy to help you guys in that respect. Real quickly, I mentioned Bank HaPoalim, and the lesson here is the same lesson. Okay, if you go to the Justice Department without the proper cultural approach, without the proper legal approach, you can get yourself in a world of hurt. Okay, you have to understand the American mindset to deal with Americans. Okay, it is really, really important to do that and to understand that before you get involved. I know I'm running out of time, so I'm just gonna quickly mention one other thing we do, which is, if you don't mind, SOC DOTA offensive investigation slide. One more. So basically, if you're about to get into a JV situation or a merger or an acquisition or something like that, we can sometimes help. It's usually, to be quite frank, larger entities, like something a little further down. I don't know how far advanced many of your companies are. Some are obviously already publicly trading, doing great volumes of business, and some are contemplating additional moves. So what we can do is help you with an offensive investigation, which is to say there are legal and extra legal things you can look at about your competitors before you go into business with them. okay? Or before you go into business with somebody else. There's all sorts of mechanisms through the US system for discovery without even bringing a lawsuit. Okay, so there's ways that lawyers can help with those things. If that becomes relevant to you later, I'm happy to discuss it with you. Real quickly, tell you two other things we do. Skip ahead, if you don't mind, Sock, to the ConocoPhillips slide. So Chevron is a very large oil company we represented. Chevron had a $96 million judgment against the country of Venezuela. What one thing we do is if you do happen to get yourself in a lawsuit, let's say it's a domestic lawsuit with another Israeli entity, and you come out and you got a piece of paper and your lawyer from Matar or HFN or S. Horowitz or whatever comes to you and says, here you go, I won this judgment for you, here's your $50 million. And you say, well, to me, this looks like a piece of paper. It actually doesn't look like $50 million. How do you turn this into $50 million? That's something we can do. Okay, we've done it for Chevron, and we've also done it for ConocoPhillips. The third biggest creditor in the world against Venezuela is ConocoPhillips after Russia and China. So what we did for ConocoPhillips is we actually were able to seize oil tankers in the Dutch Caribbean and turn that into money for the company. Okay, so in closing, I just want to say we really, really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I know we paid for it, but we also appreciate that we're here. And we appreciate you guys listening. Again, when I say that we're here to take calls from you and we're here to give you advice and to just be allies, what we're interested in is building a long-term relationship here. And we want to have a long-term relationship with you and any of your colleagues who aren't in the room so that you trust us and you know us and you can rely on us. And if, God forbid, you need us for something more important, that we're here. So that's what we're here to do. And thank you so much for your time.